Blog Talk Radio.
So where do you even start when it comes to the Allison Legacy? There's even a touring division called the Allison Legacy Series. I believe it's been around since the 1990s. Most remember Donnie and Bobby Allison in the first green to checkered coverage of the 1979 Daytona 500. Cale Yarborough and Donnie were first and second when they wrecked going into turn three. A lot of he said, but in the end, Donnie and Bobby proved blood is thicker than rubber as the infamous fight broke out while Petty went on to win. My favorite line is Bobby Allison saying, "Cale just kept beating his nose against my fist. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it." I love that line. That's classic. Some remember Davey's 1992 first time under the lights all-star race where he won, but only the car went to victory lane because Davey was knocked out coming across the finish line after the collision with Kyle Petty. For some, it's the 1988 Daytona 500 when Bobby and Davey finished first and second. They were also known as the Alabama Gang, along with Red Farmer. But the actual Alabama Gang, Bobby and Donnie, were from Miami. It wasn't until 1958 that they moved from Miami to Hueytown, Alabama, and joined Red Farmer. Hueytown, Alabama, to this day, still says home of the Alabama Gang. 84 wins, and there would have been more, but Bobby had to retire in 1988 after his infamous Pocono wreck merely 4 months after him and Davies' 1-2 Daytona finish. Bobby is currently 80 years old and an inductee to the 2011 NASCAR Hall of Fame. He now spends most of his days back on the Atlantic coast of Florida again, where he reconciled with his wife, Judy. He made his first start in Cup in 1961 at Daytona as well, and then another at Daytona in the July race, and then Atlanta in Charlotte. Bobby would break through with 3 wins in 1966, starting at Oxford from the pole, then Islip, New York, and Beltsville, Maryland again, also from the pole, en route to his 84 wins. His first Daytona 500 win came in 1978 with another in 82 and his third in 1988, of course, that being the back-to-back with his son. From the home track news, there was an interim race along the way in 1976. His worst wreck so far that was supposed to be career-ending was a short track crash into a cement wall in 1976 at Elko Speedway in Minnesota, where he broke 11 bones and doctors said he might never drive again. He was out of the hospital in 4 days and started a Winston Cup race next Sunday at Nashville. Although he needed relief from Neil Bonnett. And that was before Neil Bonnett was full-time Cup driver. Bobby won his Cup Series title in 1983. It was at this time his boys David and Clifford began exploring stock car racing. It was 1988 when Bobby and Davey finished first and second in the Daytona 500. Unfortunately, that memory would be taken away by concussion 4 months later when Bobby had that wreck at Pocono. To this day, he still has no recollection after months of rehab. And of course, that was the career ender for Bobby Allison. I'm reminded of what I call the forgotten Allison. Clifford Allison, the youngest son of Bobby Allison. It's been over 25 years now of Clifford's death in a crash during a practice session in the Busch Series at Michigan on August 13, 1992. Just past 1:30 p.m. that day, he broke loose in turn three and made hard contact into the outside retaining wall. He was only 27 years old. Just as his career was beginning to take shape, he lost his life. He was following in the footsteps, of course, of his famous father. Clifford began driving race cars in 1983, the year his dad took his Cup Series title. Like so many racers, it all began in street stocks, followed by limited sportsman races, the All-Pro Late Model Series, now called the K&N, IMSA sports cars, ARCA, and then he then began running what was the NASCAR Busch Series, where he made 24 starts. During his short but promising career, he only competed in 24 NASCAR events, with his best finish being a sixth on April 13, 1992, the year he passed. And that was at Bristol. He began gaining experience and beginning to showcase his talent on some of NASCAR's toughest tracks. That day in Michigan, Bobby was there to offer support and guidance on a track where he had collected four career cup victories, one being in 1971, two being in 1981, and one being in 1982, respectively. Throughout the morning, they felt optimistic about a good finish in the upcoming 200-mile race the day after on Saturday. Bobby says, "I remember he was starting to run well. Each time we came into the garage, we talked about how the car was handling and what to do to make it better. Just before he backed out of the garage stall for the final time, he looked at his dad and he said, 'Dad, we're going to go get him.' As Clifford got up to speed, something drastically broke loose. He headed into turn three. It went terribly wrong, sending him into the outside wall. And Bobby was there waiting for Clifford to come back around the front stretch. But he never did. And this was at a time when we didn't have the big pit boxes and binoculars and monitoring and whatnot, and, you know, the RVs. Reg Kegel was Clifford's crew chief, and he looked at Bobby and said, 'Clifford hit the wall.' Bobby said he called Clifford on the two-way, didn't get an answer, called him again, still no answer. And it was about that time that he saw the ambulance go down pit road the wrong direction at a high rate of speed, and that's when Bobby realized that Clifford was in trouble. Clifford died en route to Foote Memorial Hospital, located in nearby Jackson, from the Speedway. A statement issued by Speedway officials stated that the cause of death, of course, was severe blunt trauma. It was the first crash fatality in the history of the Busch Grand National Series, which had begun 10 years earlier in 1982. It was also the first racing fatality at Michigan, which opened in 1969. Brother Davey was flying to Michigan International Speedway by private airplane as Clifford's crash occurred and was notified of his death. Weighed down with sorrow, Davey still competed in the Cup Series race that Sunday and finished fifth. Just 11 months to the day, on July 13th, 1993, when Davey died as a result of the helicopter crash at Daga. Davey passed away at 32. Bobby often thinks of his sons. He still carries a worn colored photo in his wallet featuring their wide smiles and Clifford holding the the two fingers behind Davey's head like the bunny ears. Bobby often states that photo says it all. 1992 was a very trying roller coaster year for Davey. He came out of the gate winning the Daytona 500. And as mentioned, his driver's side impact in the All-Star race in the final laps of Kyle Petty, which the car went to victory lane and he didn't. Davey won five races that year, one being after the fatality of his brother. So technically five, being that they're points paying races, but one, I guess, would make it six because that was the non-points paying All-Star race. It was one of the tightest ever championship races that year, too, going into Atlanta, where Davey wrecked out and Kowicki and Bill Elliott were decided by most laps led for the championship. It bears to mention that Davey actually had the most top fives that year and tied Bill Elliott for wins. Laps led were very component that year. Davey finished 4,015 in points, Elliott 4,068 in points. And then, of course, Kowicki, 4,078 in points. Now, if you take 5 points, you know, for a lap led, 10 points for most laps led, it added up. And that was the deciding factor that year. Then, of course, it was the following year, in 1993, when Davey passed away at 32 years old. Donnie Allison bears more than mentioning. I found out a lot about this guy over the last couple of days as I was doing my research. Donnie Allison is now 78 years old and made his last Cup start at Charlotte in 1988, but did continue to race, making 26 starts in the Busch Series in 1989. He also made two starts in the Indianapolis 500 in 1970 and 71. He raced full-time in 70 in the Indy Series as well as Cup. He raced part-time in 71 and full-time in Cup. Both years in the IndyCar Series were for Foyt Greer Racing, obviously partially owned by A.J. Foyt. He was no slouch in the Indy 500. He finished fourth in 1970, and he finished sixth in 1971. And then Donnie had 10 Cup Series wins spanning from 1968 to 1978, three being in 1970 while running the IndyCar Series, and then one in 1971 while running the IndyCar Series. So it's quite the feat, quite the feat. His highest point finish in Cup Series was 16th, but that's far from indicative of his performance. His finish first or finish last mentality, checkers or record mentality, was very clear. The Allison Legacy Series. The best way to find them is www.allisonlegacy.com. Their final race of the year will be October 20th. On the East Coast. They mainly run throughout the North Carolina and South Carolina area, although I know that they have made some starts at Martinsville as well. Bobby has stated many times that Clifford loved to play and died working. Davey loved to work and died playing. God only knows what might have been. Now Bobby gets to play in his final years back on the shores of Florida. Thanks for listening. We'll be doing more historical motorsports stories, and listener input is always welcome. We'll be right back.